to the churches, the sixth letter to the churches. And it says, unto the angel of the church in Philadelphia, write these things, saith he that is holy, and he that is true, and he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. Now the first thing we're going to look at is see if there's any prophetic progress or prophetic code as we found in all these other churches. So we got to look first at the name Philadelphia. The name Philadelphia means brotherly love. We all know that. City of Philadelphia. By the way, I'll be sharing something about Philadelphia coming up in September that's kind of cool because we're teaching it now and it's about to come up. So brotherly love. Brotherly love. So if you'll just have that in your notes, we're going to go back to that because, again, so far, either the name or the environment has coincided with what Jesus had to say. Is that true? All six churches, well, five, now number six. So let's see what happens here. But first, let's break this down. He said, these things saith he that is holy. So I want you to write holy, and then next to that, write separate and sovereign. Holy. There's a reason he's holy. It's because he's separate. He's separate. He's not man, but he made man in his image. He's separate from us. He's in a high, holy place. Amen? So he's holy. He's high and lifted up. He's separate. The only way you and I ever become holy is, number one, first of all, when we're covered in the blood of the Lamb, but when we separate ourselves in a fashion called consecration and sanctification. And sanctification, consecration has nothing to do with your dress or your jeans or your hair. It has everything to do with your heart. And so he said, first of all, he's holy, he's separate, he's sovereign. The next thing he says, what? He is true. Write the word true down. And under that, or next to that, write the source of all truth. When he says he's true, means he's full of truth. He's the source of truth. He's true. There's no falseness in him. Isn't that great in the world of liars? I mean, everything's a lie. Just about everything's a lie. You go buy something, and you know, and 10 days later it breaks or whatever, you know, the politicians and preachers and so on and so forth. It's a lie. But he's true. He's truth. So he's a source of all truth. All right? So he begins by saying, hey, he's holy, the one that's speaking to you, writing to you. He that he is true. And then it says, he that hath the key of David. Write the key of David, because this is really cool. So we got brotherly love. I'm going to put brotherly love. That's the Church of Philadelphia. I'm going to try to make this connection right now. And then he said, the keys of David. But we're going to look at the keys for just a second, because I don't want to get into this too fast. So you're going to kind of write that down so you can bounce off that in just a minute and connect the dots. Okay? So the key of David, what's he talking about, the key of David? So we're going to look at the word key, first of all. Well, the word key represents authority. Everybody say authority. If I hand you my keys, then I have given you authority to unlock and enter in what is mine, whether it's a car, a closet, it's an office, it's a building. You got my keys, don't you? Well, I gave you the authority to do that. Only my car, right? But he said, I got the whole key set. I need to be specific, don't I? But he has authority to enter in. You have keys of your home right now that I do not have the right to pick that lock. Come on now, because you didn't give me the key. I'm trying to go in another way as the wolf would do, right? Amen. And so that is the key of authority. Write this scripture down, Matthew 16:19. And I'm not going to go to that one right now. I'll go to some other ones. Matthew 16:19. What is that? The keys of the kingdom. Remember that? Based on this revelation, Peter, not that you are the Pope, or not that you are the rock, you're a part of the rock, but based on the revelation that Jesus Christ is Lord, I give you keys to the kingdom. That whatsoever you bind shall be bound, whatsoever you shall loose shall be loosed, where? In heaven and in earth. So those keys are authority. Amen. The greatest key you have in this room right now is your tongue. Your tongue creates your future or destroys your present. Your future, your tongue blesses your present or destroys your future. You got to learn how to control the tongue. That's why I love the teaching on ISM of the power of the tongue. And please, I always mention this when we talk about the tongue. Get the book Hung by the Tongue. It will change your way of speaking. Okay? Now go to Isaiah. Keep your finger here. Let's go to Isaiah so we get another picture. And I want to show you this because, again, for my New Testament friends, that's where they camp out and they don't like the Old Testament. God gave us shadows and understanding of his kingdom in the Old Testament. In fact, that's how we learn about the kingdom. So go to Isaiah 22 real quick and let's look at this. Isaiah chapter 22, verse 22. Tell me when you're there. I don't want to leave you. That's two of you. There we go. Amen, amen, amen. Look what it says. And the key of the house of David will I lay upon his shoulder. He's talking about Eliakim. You can go back to verse 20 and see it. Eliakim was going to be the keeper of the gates. And so he said, I'm going to put the key of the house of David will I lay upon his shoulder. Remember, shoulder represents government. Always. What did Isaiah say about the Lamb of God that was coming? The government shall be upon his shoulders. Shoulders represents authority. Shoulders represents the ability to carry the weight. Okay? And so he says, they're going to be upon his shoulders. And then what does it say? And so he shall open and none shall shut, and he shall shut and none shall open, and I will fasten him as a nail in a sure place. And he shall be for a glorious throne to his father's house. Now go back to Revelation chapter 3. And so we established the keys represent authority. They represent the ability to go in and go out. It represents access. Okay? But here's the connection I want you to see is this. The word David, translated in the Hebrew, Davi, is called beloved. Beloved. Okay? David means beloved. How many of y'all know David was beloved of God? Remember I told you last week that David reached into the dispensation of grace and attained grace when grace was not legally allowed, wasn't even found to be because he should have been stoned to death. Doesn't matter if he was a king. Even more so because he was a king. But he found grace. He said, take not the Holy Spirit from me. Forgive me of my presumptuous sins. And he said, wash me, cleanse me. And what did he say? What did God say about David? He said, David is a man after my own heart. You notice that? So what's the correlation? Well, the correlation is Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love, or the church of brotherly love. Now look with me again. Verse 7, on the last part. These things saith he that is holy, he that is true, and he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. What is he talking about? He said that I am the one that has complete authority, complete power, complete dominion to open the kingdom, come on, to those who qualify, to open opportunities for you, and shut them as well. But here's the thing. What is the key? You ready for this? Here is the key. Love. Right there. Love. So here's our prophetic connection and our progression. City of love. The kingdom is opened by love. Isn't that beautiful? He, in every single book, every single letter so far, he's made a correlation either with name or environment. And thus far, he's done it here in letter number 6. So what is our access into the kingdom of God? Love. What's your access into power and the gifts of the Holy Spirit? Love. has nothing to do with how high you can jump, how well you can do this or play instruments or sing or scream or shout or pray in tongues or prophesy or whatever. It has everything to do with love. Let me prove that to you. Let me go to 1 John. Let's look at this real quick together. 1 John chapter 3. You know, this is why I'm not impressed with a lot of people in church. I'm really not until I get to be around you. I am. I'm seriously. I want to see you. I want to see how you do with chicken bones. So we're gonna eat together. I'm gonna step on your toes. I'm gonna see how what comes out. Praise or cuss. Huh? I'm going to have a little fun. You know, we're going to have a little movie night. We're going to find out who you really are, amen? And you're going to find out who I really am. But here's the key. Here's the key to know who's with you right now. Are you there? 1 John 3, look at verse 14. We know that we've passed from death unto life because we love the brethren.
Hallelujah.
Woo! Love. Not silly love. I love you, but I got a knife in your back. No, not that love. I love you. I may not like you and always, but I love you with the love of the Lord, and if you need me, I'll be there for you. I ain't going to be happy at 2 in the morning when I show up with biscuits and warm milk or whatever you're needing, but I promise you I'm going to put that smile on. I love you. Here you go. I might leave a burnout in your front yard, but I love you. Okay, so we know that we've passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth where? In death. So you cannot enter into the kingdom. Jesus is saying, I'm the one who opens the door to the kingdom, but it's love that allows that to happen. Love is the process because I loved you. I'm holy and I'm true and I have the keys, the authority of David to open doors and to shut doors, and the same is for you through the power of love. Woo! So when I hear backbiting, gossiping, gnawing like rats on other brothers and sisters and churches and places like that, I look and say, you haven't even passed from death to life. You're still abiding in death because your tongue is sharper than an old box cutter. Hey, how you doing? Oh, golly. You ever seen the Stooges where they were working as suit cleaners? And he threw the blade into the thing and he didn't know it, and Curly's just going and cleaning off the dust, and when the guy gets it, it's all... That's what sometimes it's like going through a sawmill with some Christians. You walk right in there. Golly. Listen now. Let me finish this up. For whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. Woo. Well, I never killed nobody. Yeah, but your tongue has. And you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God. In other words, here's how you test it. You ready? Here's how you thump it. Because he laid down his life for us, we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. We should lay down our lives for brethren. Can I tell you something? This scripture is right now leaping out of the pages of the Bible and will become a living lithium test for the coming church in the coming days. We're going to find out how much you love somebody when they come to your door and they need something from you. We're going to find out. I'm going to find out. Do I really have the love? I don't know why I'm going there, but I feel good getting there. Let's go to Revelation 3 again. So it's love. So he begins it. Look back with me. Verse 7. And to the angel of the church of Philadelphia, the brotherly love, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, and he that hath the keys of David. In other words, you ain't getting the keys because he's got them. If you want the keys, you got to go through him. He that openeth no man shutteth, and shutteth no man can open. Look at verse 8. And I know thy works. Now, you want to write this down. This is the only church thus far. We'll find out in the next church, but I'm sure you already know. This is the only church God had no complaints with. Were they perfect? Nope. But love covers a multitude of sins. I think whatever small issues they may have had, love won and love covered it all. But look what he says. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee a what? An open door. How'd that door get open? Love. They were a loving church. Listen, I would rather go to a place where people love me than a place where the best music on the universe is and the most hotshot preacher is. Because I'm going to tell you something. You only get him and them for a minute. You get them folk for a long time. And most folk can't even get through the grinder through the front door. They already ground it up. Some of the worst hurts we've ever had, anybody in this room could tell me, the worst hurts we've ever had has been from church folk. I never had nobody hurt me at the honky-tonk. I stood on their blue suede shoes, that's different. Right? But usually it's, man, good to see you, I love you. You don't even know me, I don't care, I love you. Here and there, you know, church is like, you're in my seat. My daddy built the church. Where's your daddy? Anyways, you know what I'm talking about. So look what he says. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door. An open door. Here's what it means in the Greek. It means a door of opportunity. A door of opportunity. Write that down because that's very important. What does love do? It opens all doors of opportunity. It opens all doors of opportunity. I would rather walk through a door God opened for me than someone opens for me. Because every time I had somebody open a door for me, it usually turned out bad. I'm talking kingdom too. That's why I don't go preach at every church. I prayerfully consider, should I go preach it? I've turned down something recently I told you guys about it. But I turned it down. I didn't belong there. Amen? So a door of opportunity. What is he talking about? Look at it one more time. I set before you an open door, a door of opportunity that no man can shut. What's he talking about? He's talking about the kingdom. He said to the church of Philadelphia, I have a door of opportunity for you because you love and I can see it. He said, I'm going to give you an opportunity to do something in the kingdom of God. You want an opportunity? Love the brethren. Listen, the Holy Spirit told me a long time ago, he says, when you pray, you become part of people's lives. And it's very hard to speak against people you pray for. Did you know that? So here's a good rule for unforgiveness. Pray for those you're mad at. Pray for them. Tell them you're sorry. Say sorry. I mean, get in the mirror and look at you like they're you and you're them and say, I'm sorry. And let the love of God cleanse it. And then forget about it. Don't bring it back again. Okay? It's the only way to do it. He says, open door. Okay. For thou hast a little strength, and thou hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. So here we go. The word strength there is dunamis. Dunamis. Where do we find that? Acts chapter what? And you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost comes upon you. Acts chapter what? 1 verse 8. Acts chapter 1 verse 8. You shall receive power. What is that? Dunamis. It's dynamite power. Also means a dyno, like a dynamo. Just keeps cranking up the power. So he says, you got a little power. You got a little power. But that's okay. I'm going to get you through. Amen? So he said, you have a little strength. And then he says, you've kept my word. I want you to write down, kept my word and has not denied my name. Those two phrases, just put those down on paper. Because he says, you have a little strength. You have a little strength. John 15:5 says, without me you can do nothing. So he would never say you have all strength unless you are tied into him, right? Then you can do all things through Christ who strengthened you. So he was letting the church know, you've got a little bit of strength, but guess what? With me, you're going to go all the way. He said, you have not denied me. You haven't, you've kept the word. Okay? John 14, 6 says, Jesus is what? The way, the truth, and the life. So you have kept my word, and you have not denied my name. The word kept means to guard and to watch over. One of the things I reiterate constantly from this pulpit is guard your heart. Guard the word that you've learned. Guard what you read. Don't be mesmerized by people with big things and ministries with big things. If it doesn't line up with the word, it ain't God. Bigness has not, anybody can go get a loan and build a building. Have a rich uncle. On and on and on. There's so many scenarios there. That doesn't mean somebody can start out good and end bad. One in four, according to spiritual formation teaching, historically and modern times, one in four finish well. Look at the room. One in four finish well. Doesn't have to be that way. Okay, that's just a statistic. But one in four finish well. I want to be one that finishes well. How about you? Okay? So he says, you have kept, you have guarded, you have watched my word, and then he says, you haven't denied my name. You haven't denied my name. Do you know what that's saying? You loved me. If you love me, keep my commandments. Keep my word. If you love me, keep my commandments. Well, I just can't quit sinning. Well, you just don't love. Well, I would give this habit up, but you just don't love. You don't love him enough to take care of the temple of the Holy Ghost. You don't love him enough, come on, to live right. You don't love him enough to go the distance. God wants you to go all the way to the end of your age. It's appointed unto every man to die. But if you don't know that day, don't hurry it up. Don't help it. I mean, you might as well just go up to the mortician and say, hi, I'm here to help you. Buddy, I'm driving around them places. I see a hearse. I'm not even looking. Come on, people. That's funny. How come we never seen the funeral home with buckets collecting money at the corner? Ain't nobody want to give to them. All right. You've loved me. You've kept my word. You haven't denied my name. Isn't that the same in the natural walk with people? If you love somebody, you're not going to deny them. I mean, could you imagine me and Mike going to the store and they say, who's that guy? I don't know who he is. He's walking right. I brought him with me. That wouldn't be fun, would it? Or he doing it to me? Who is it? I don't know. But you know, we do that sometimes in our walk with God. But here he says, listen, he's commending them. He says, look, you've kept my name. You've kept the faith. You've kept my word. You didn't deny me. Now look at verse 9. Look at this. This is a very powerful, powerful word. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan. Now, where did we hear about them? Smyrna, the synagogue of Satan, and then in Pergamos, the seat of Satan. Now notice the two churches that these names were brought out in. They could not overcome. They had an issue with them. But look what he says now to the love church. Watch what he says. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. Woo-wee. Love conquers all. Do you see that with me? Right in your Bibles, your notes, Isaiah 60, verse 14. I don't have time to go there, but I'm just going to paraphrase it for you. It basically says that there'll come a time when the Gentiles would come and they would honor, and the pagan nations would come and honor. Okay? Isaiah 60, actually in verse 1, talks about what? It talks about how the Gentiles would come to their light. So there's coming a time when the church, when people outside of the church is going to come to the light and the love and the glory and the goodness of the house of God. That's why I tell you, those sniffers like Sunday, when they come, they're going to sniff no more. They're going to run in because they're going to see the light and they're going to see it. They're going to see the love of God, okay? And they're going to hear the truth. Now watch this. He says, because thou hast kept the word of my patience. Well, let me, excuse me, go back to verse 19. But I will make, verse 9, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they're Jews or not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet. Now the word worship there is not the same as in bowing down in humility of worship like we're talking about. The word means this in the Greek. It means like a dog would lick a master's hand. Subservient, humility. Isn't that cool when a dog just comes up? I mean, he's a Rottweiler. He could eat the rest of your body. And he just goes, blop, 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 blop. Oh, right? Big old Great Dane could swallow you, and he just licks you. And you're like, hey, thanks for the lick and not the bite. Get a cat to do that. A cat will rip your skin off and then cut you. But anyways, so what happened? He says this. He says, they're going to come and they are going to find humility where? At your feet. What do the feet represent? Feet represents the gospel, the caring of the gospel. So what did he say? He said, love opens the door. I'm going to give you a great opportunity for the kingdom. And when I give you that opportunity, though you have little strength and you've kept my word and you've not denied my name, I'm going to cause the synagogue of Satan to come and bow down at your work. They will be humbled by the preaching of your gospel. They will be drawn in by the light of the word, and they'll know that I've loved you and you love me. Woo! You want to see Satanists come to Christ? Show the love of God. Because the love of God is the power of God. Huh? How do you cast them out? You cast demons out by the love of God. Because you don't want to see that person bound anymore. You don't cast demons out because you want everybody to see you and think you're super spiritual Steve. Because you better be careful what you might get when you open that bag. Because the demons see more clearly than you do if you're blinded by doctrine, pride, and self. But if you're full of the love of God and all you want to do is see that person free, that devil's coming out. And it can be the littlest one in the room. Amen. We're going to have eye-openers coming. We're really going to have eye-openers. We're really going to see. We're going to see a movement. I'm going to prophesy. We're going to see a movement of the children that's never been seen before on the face of the earth, because the children are going to walk in pureness of conscience and pureness of heart and pureness of faith that men and women who've stood in ministry for 20, 30, 40, 50 years has never seen before in their own hearts. You watch and see. You watch and see. All right, so he said they're going to come and bow down. They're going to come. I find that amazing. I find it so powerful because, look, he said, I got no complaints for this church. They're walking in love, and what the other two generational churches couldn't handle, the church of love did. Guess what? For you and I, we can conquer today's issues in life with the power of love. All right, so let's go on. Verse 10, because thou hast kept the word of my patience. You ever seen that and wonder what that means? You kept the word of my patience. What do you mean the word of my patience? The word of word of my patience means this. You've kept the gospel of the cross. You kept the gospel of suffering. You kept the gospel of sticking to it. It actually means endurance. You've kept the word of my endurance. What does the Bible say? He that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. Matthew 24. Like I've said, many people are going to go to heaven. Not everybody's going to stay. Everybody go to heaven, but not everybody's going to stay. So how do you know that? Well, didn't we cast out devils in your name? Didn't we do all these mighty works? He said, I didn't even know you. Depart from you, workers of iniquity. It's just the Bible. Don't get mad. because you've kept the word of my patience. Then he goes on and says, I will keep you from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the earth to try them that dwell upon the earth. So he says, there's coming a great testing, a great temptation. He says, but I'm going to keep those who are in love out of that. That could mean future events, but historians say that even the Church of Philadelphia had greater persecution from the people around them at the particular time. Either way, guess what? If I love, love's going to cover me. He's got me covered. I'm his beloved. I have the keys of David. I'm beloved. I'm walking in love. Please understand this. Don't get in condemnation. You may not like everything, but you need to love what God loves. You need to hate what God hates. You should hate what Planned Parenthood is doing. You should hate what just took place today at live on television. You should hate what's happening on with the manipulation of the markets. You should hate everything that is going on that is anti-God. You should hate it. Because when you hate something like that, you're showing the love of God. All right. Everybody cool? Have I made anybody mad yet? Just hang on. I'm working on it. Verse 11. No, I ain't making nobody mad. Look what he says. Behold, I come quickly. You know, when I see the Lord, I do want to ask him about that. I don't really understand what he means. You said that 2,000 years ago. I mean, when I say combo number one, I want it in 5 minutes, hot fries, I'm out. Or I'm going to have a hot flash. That's good. Right? Is that not right? But he says, I come quickly. I'm just like, really? That's probably one of the most theological questions I'm going to ask, besides did Adam have a belly button. I'm just going to ask him, what did you mean by that? And he'll say, well, 1,000 years is as a day, and a day is as 1,000 years. You got that, son? Okay, let's go. Let's go eat. Don't you have questions you're going to ask the Lord? Behold, I come quickly. But here's the part you need to see. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Notice again, sorry about the eternal salvation, folks that believe, you know, once saved, always saved. He still says in here again, I can take your crown. How does he take your crown? Through forfeit. That's all. He ain't going to rip it off your head. I mean, you know, he didn't take anything from you. You forfeit it. You forfeit. You give it up. You backslide. You dive into a bowl of sin. I mean, you blatantly do it. You know what sin. Everybody knows what sin is. See, the biggest problem God has is not with sin. Now, this is going to blow some people away. It's with workers of iniquity. Because sin can be forgiven if it's accidental. If we commit a sin, it could be forgiven. Now, what the Bible says? But workers of iniquity are different. They work the deepest of sin, and workers of iniquity sit there and plan it out. Remember when you were in the world? You already had Friday planned out. I ain't looking at Carl. I'm just looking that way. I mean, I already had. I was diving. I was already ready. I know what I was going to. I'll refrain from the rest. You know what I mean? Y'all were angels. You were going to church, but I wasn't. I was driving past the church. Yeah, I saw you, Carla. She had first shift. I had third shift. I mean, come on, but we're all workers of iniquity. And you know what my favorite thing to do was work iniquity on somebody else? I wanted them to join me. I didn't party. All right, let me go. Sarah knows what you're talking about. I didn't party alone. That's why they had station wagons. You put more in there. Three seaters. Somebody said, horse and buggy. How far back we going? It don't matter. So look what he says, though. He said, hold fast. Come on, that's a word for us today. We got to hold fast this word, because things are going to come at us, supernatural things are going to come at the church. Look, if things like abortion and things like gay marriage and things like living together in sin and all the, if the church swallows that now so easily, and they're huge billboard signs and sins, what's going to happen when there's little changes to the doctrine? Come on, like what's happening with the millennials when over 50-some-odd% believe Jesus sinned, and preachers no longer believe in the red letters, that these were ancient letters, they don't count. Literally, and say that Jesus did not know anything about grace because when he preached and taught, he taught before the cross. That's idiotic. But it's demonic, and you got people in the church going, yeah, especially if I threw an organ behind it and had people throwing money on. Watch out now. I can stir and throw all kinds of demon doctrines to you, doctrines of demons to you, but you're so caught up in the pageantry and the stuff and the glitter and the pastor's first wife and everybody looks like Hollywood. I'm glad I'm ugly. You know what I mean? I got to work. But, you know, everything's this, oh, yeah, Pastor Jen, come in. She's got gold-plated hair. Some of y'all ain't been a mega church in a while. You need to just go in there, not on a Sunday, just go in there one day and just go, ooh. Where was I? I talk about holding on. Hold on. Hold on to this truth. I don't care what. I don't care if an alien comes out of space and they're coming. I don't care if any of this demonic stuff transpires and the Pope and dope and everybody else stands up and says this and this. Listen, hold on to the faith. It's the blood of Jesus. It's the cross of Calvary. It's an empty tomb. It's forgiveness of sin and confession with the tongue and living right going to get you there. Ain't nothing else. You can kiss this ring all day long, but it ain't going to get you nothing but a cut lip. You know what I mean, Jim? If I could just kiss his ring. Verse 12. Let's look at this. Him that overcometh, say that's me, will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God, the name of the city of my God, and the new name of Jerusalem, which cometh down of heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my new name. First thing I want you to see is you got to overcome. How are we going to overcome? Hold fast the faith. Hold it. Well, we're going to cut your head off if you don't deny. If you deny, you got to say that so and so is Lord. You better get to chopping, Jack. Could you do it right here? Because I have an itch. go ahead and cut it because I never liked this face anyways. Could you take a little off underneath? Come on, somebody. I'm not going to deny the faith. I'm going to hold fast this word. Well, you can't preach this word again. Watch me. We'll string you up. Make it tight. He's crazy. Read the Bible with me one more time. Verse 12, he that overcometh, he that is victorious. How do you become victorious? Don't deny. Hold. Keep the word. Keep the faith. And I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. He shall go out no more. And I will write upon him the name of my God. I want you to write that down. The name of my God, the name of the city of my God, and my new name. Write those three things down. Just take a minute and do that. Just take a minute. He said, I'm going to write upon him the name of my God, the name of the city of my God, and my new name. The Greek word there is grapho, where we get graphics. Grapho, where we get the word graphics. Grapho, 1125 in your Greek lexicon or your Strong's Concordance. So it means graph. So he's going to engraft or he's going to write the name of his God, of God, the name of the city of my God, and my new name. Where? Into the pillar. Look one more time. And he that overcometh, will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. Now, can I show you real quick what that means? Everybody look at me when you have that written down because I want you to see the whole illustration of that. What it means is this, in the Roman times and the Greek times, the magistrates or people of great authority, they would make columns with their names inside the temples of their deities. So Jesus took that same example and said this. He said, I'm going to make you a pillar in the temple of your God, of my God, and I'm going to write upon you these names, just like these Greek deities and Roman deities were honored, I will honor you in the city of the new God, of the new king, of the king. I will honor you in that new city. I will honor you and I will put my name upon you. Can you see that with me? In other words, we're not going to be, you know, have plasters made of us. You know. Okay, well, I don't know what Mike's going to do. Something, I don't know. It's not that. It's just saying we're part of, we're not the pillar structure, but we're going to be honored in the city. In other words, your name's going to be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So when you enter in, it's already documented. And he said, you'll never go out again. Nobody can evict you. No one can throw you out. No one can say you got to move. Nobody's going to say anything to you. Where are you going? Wherever I want to go. My name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Woo! I've got honor with my king. Why? Because I overcame by the power of love. I loved him even unto the death. Woo! Glory to God. How did they overcome them? Revelation chapter 12. How did they overcome them? By the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony. Finish it. And they loved not their life unto the death. Huh? Acts chapter 1 verse 8 says what? You shall be witnesses. Oh, I'm going to be a witness for Jesus and have a TV ministry. No, honey, look at the Greek. The word witness means martyr. It doesn't mean you have to physically die, but honey, if you ain't dying to yourself, you ain't living for Christ. Is it hurting your ears? Because I'm about to get real loud. It's bad when your son's going. Sorry, it's a Wednesday night thing. Do you hear that? A pillar. Just, he was using that example, and he says, because you kept the faith and you love me, you haven't denied me, man, you're going to be a pillar in God's new kingdom. In his new city. Hey, they may not make a bench with my name out there, but in heaven my name's written. Oh, I may not get this pretty old mug chiseled in Stone Mountain. Might not have enough rock for the head. But I'm gonna tell you something right now. My name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I may never be on the Hall of Fame. I may never have a walk of fame and my name chiseled in Hollywood. Why would you want somebody walking all over you anyways and doing all kinds of stuff? But my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I may not have the fancy American Express card with my name on it, but my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Do you see that? You may not have a title to a Bentley with your name on it. You may not even have a title. But in heaven, you got a name. In heaven, you got a name. And do you see? It all began with what? Love. Love is the key. Love is the key. And then finally, closing, it says this. And he says, right, let's come down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. And he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. Churches. Now, for your extra credit, whatever, study time, 1 Corinthians 7:21, I want you to go look at the two pillars in that. The two pillars. I believe it's Jannes and Boaz were the two pillars that were put